So, why do these resolutions fade? I believe the primary reason that New Year's resolutions fade and 92% of people stop them, it can be wrapped up in one word: sustainability. They're just not sustainable. Most resolutions just are not sustainable. If your resolution is to work out every day, but you never work out now, it's very unlikely that you'll maintain that. If your resolution is to eat healthy, but you're addicted to Doritos and pizza, that's going to be really hard to keep. The key to an achievable New Year's resolution is sustainability. So let me just give you a little New Year's resolution tip, okay? Create a resolution that is attainable based on your current state, right? So if you never read the Bible, instead of your resolution being, I'm going to read the Bible for 2 hours every day, you know that you're not. Create a small plan that escalates. Start with maybe one chapter a day for 2 months, and then two chapters a day for the next 2 months, or something like that. Create a resolution that for you, based on where you're at, is sustainable. Now, this sermon's not about your New Year's resolutions. Okay, some of the things that we resolve to do are simply not activities or actions that we can maintain, because those actions are determined by us. However, some realities are made specifically to be sustainable and maintained because they are determined by God. And one such reality that is sustained for us, one activity, one thing, one reality that is sustainable for the new year for you, because it is sustained by God, is hope. Hope. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 through 31. It says, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, most of us have heard this text before, or we probably saw it on a plaque in a Christian bookstore, or maybe on your grandmother's wall, or something like that, or knitted onto a, or printed on a shirt, or something. You know, this is a very common verse, but do we really understand its context and its meaning? This text, verses 30 through 31, is a response to Israel's worry in verse 27. So if you look at verse 27, Israel says this: my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. This is a complaint. And the complaint is, God has forgotten us. He has abandoned us. And without God, there's no hope. There's nothing to look forward to. There's nothing to rest in. What do we have? Where there is strength, there is God. But where there is no strength for us, God has forgotten us. So Isaiah responds in verse 28 through 29. He responds to the complaint. God has forgotten us. We have no hope. That's their complaint. And he says, verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The question's rhetorical. They do know, and they have heard. He's reminding them. And here's what he's reminding them of. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. So to him who has no strength, he gives strength. Why? Because he does not faint or grow weary. And how does he know who needs strength and who needs his provision of energy? How does he know? Because his understanding is unsearchable. So today's text, verse 30, that starts with, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Okay, that verse begins, our text begins by comparing God's immutable, that means unchanging, God's unchanging character to that character that is the best that mankind has to offer in terms of energy, strength, and power. What is the best of human strength and power and energy? Well, I guess if we said energy, we could all say, like, you know, six-year-old boys, right? But if we're talking about power and strength and energy, the best that mankind has to offer is youth. And that's what he's comparing us to. Now, when we think of youth, we think of like teenagers. Like, youth ministry is like 12-year-olds to 18-year-olds, right? The youth here is not teenagers. We're talking about young men. The best in physical power and sustainable strength for the human race is young men in their prime, probably mid-20s to early 30s. Okay, and I don't think anyone's going to argue that. Men are clearly created physically larger and stronger than women, and that's intentional because God also made men to be providers and protectors, and part of that includes size and strength and power and energy. And so Isaiah compares God and his unsearchable understanding and his inability to grow faint or weary and his endless power and strength, and he compares it to the best of humankind, which is young men in their mid-20s to early 30s. Professional sports validates this truth, right? That young men in their mid-20s to early 30s is the best that humankind has to offer for strength and power. I mean, most professional athletes, men and women, are in their mid-20s and early 30s, right? Tom Brady, if you guys follow the NFL, Tom Brady is a professional quarterback in the NFL, professional football player. He's 41 years old. Okay. And every NFL analyst and every fan and anybody that you know who watches football or follows the NFL at all say the same thing about Tom Brady. He's old. He's 41, and he is old. And if you watch him on the football field compared to the other guys, he looks old. Aaron Rodgers, a Green Bay Packers quarterback, he just turned, I think, 35 or 36, and everyone's talking about, whew, he's at the end of his run. He's only got a few years left. He's old. He's younger than me. I'm young when you think about what a pastor is, right? So if you think about the comparison, when you take something like a professional sport, what is it based upon? Physical strength and power. All of them are, right? Physical ability. And when you get into your mid-30s, they're like, he or she, they're out the door. They're old now. Why? Because 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds are bigger and faster and stronger, and they've got a lot more time left to be bigger, faster, and stronger. Because mid-20s to early 30s is the prime of the human physical specimen. And if you ever watched any professional sports, what you'll also notice is these supreme athletes who are the best in the world at power and strength. Right? I mean, I think we could all agree that athletes tend to be the greatest exposure we have to our greatest physical strengths. It doesn't have to be NFL or football. It could be the world's strongest man competition or the Olympics. And we see the greatest athletes at play, and they're usually in their 20s and early 30s. But what happens to these athletes? They get tired. They need a break. Sometimes they even need an oxygen machine to help them breathe after they make a big play or do something that takes more than 10 seconds. Now you might say, well, if we're talking about the NFL, these players should be tired. They play for 3.5 hours. Actually, the game clock only runs for 60 minutes. So you're watching a 3.5 hour game when you're only watching the game clock run for 60 minutes. That's 2.5 extra hours of time that you're wasting. which is why I record and fast forward through commercials. But still, 60 minutes of play. Out of that 60 minutes of play, or that 3.5 hours of watching football, and let's be honest, some of us watch 2 games, so that's 7 hours of football. Out of all that, 3.5 hours or 60 minutes of play, can you guess, this is interaction time, feel free to shout out, can you guess how many minutes of that is spent watching them actually play? Guess, go ahead, just shout out a number if you want.
8 minutes.
8 minutes?
1 hour.
1 hour. He's actually really close. 11 minutes. In 3.5 hours, we're watching 11 minutes of football. 11 minutes. Okay? And then they take a break for a week and get paid $10 million. So these professional athletes that play for 11 minutes, and they're, you guys ever see these guys after the game? Do they look energized? No, they're exhausted, they're tired, they're beat up, they're sweating. This is the best that humans have to offer for physical power and strength. But even the best of human specimens are unable to maintain, they're unable to sustain power and energy. They grow tired and weary and faint. So even the best of humanity has to offer completely pales in comparison to God's sustainable strength. Okay? That's the point that that Isaiah is making here. God's power and strength is sustainable. The best that humans have to offer, the youth, the young men, their power and strength, it pales. They grow weak and weary and faint. But compared to God, there's no comparison. And another thing that this comparison reveals is this. There is another category of people who are even better at sustainability than these elite athletes. And that category is those who wait for the Lord. That's what it says in verse 31. But they who wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. The Hebrew word for wait literally means to bind in expectation. Right? You bind in expectation. So we think of the word waiting as just kind of waiting around like, I hope this happens. Waiting and hope are English words that do not match the biblical concepts. Okay? Some versions of your Bible, some versions, whether you, I don't know what version yours says, but might have the word hope instead of wait. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And it's fitting because hope is the same idea of binding our expectations to the Lord regardless of what we know or see. So when we think of the word wait and we think of the word hope in English, it's always this sense of not knowing what's going to happen next. Like we're waiting for something to happen, or I hope that this happens. And our idea of hoping that it happens is not being sure if it will. Just hoping that it does. Waiting, sometimes we're waiting for something that we expect to happen. You ever wait in the doctor's office? You ever wait at any kind of office or maybe to get your car fixed or whatever, and it feels like, I'm waiting, but I don't think this is ever going to end, right? Sometimes we wait with expectation, but we don't know what's going to happen. And that is the concept of biblical hope, in that we're waiting for something that we expect, but the biblical promise is that hope is worth waiting for, because what we hope for is promised and guaranteed. So Romans 8:25 ties these two ideas of hope and waiting together. It says this: if we hope for what we do not see, what do? We wait for it with patience. So hope requires not seeing, right? You see that? Hope requires not seeing. If we hope for what we do not see, then we wait for it with patience. Because just one verse earlier in Romans 8:24, Paul says, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? If you see it, it's not hope. Hope is an expectation that is not seen, and you bind yourself to it. That's waiting on the Lord. That's hope. Therefore, hope requires some lack of evidence for us to trust God without knowing what the outcome is. Even though we know what the outcome is, we don't see the outcome. I'm promised eternal life. I know that, but I don't see it. I don't have it. I don't have glorification that is promised to me. But I hope in it, and I bind myself to that expectation. That's hope. That's waiting. However, hope also requires some evidence. We hope in God and we wait on God because God has shown us that we should wait on Him. He's proven His faithfulness in the past, and not only has He proven His faithfulness in the past, but He simply commands us to trust Him. And He tells, His Word tells us that He's faithful, and we hope in His promises because His Word says He's faithful and that He will deliver on His promises. So we know hope serves us well because Romans 5:5 says, hope does not put us to shame. So as we consider our New Year's resolutions and how unsustainable they can be and how difficult they are to maintain, one thing we can be certain of is that hope is sustainable. Not because we have strength to hope, right? We know that if our hope rests in our ability and our strength to maintain and sustain hope, we will grow faint and weary, right? That's what Isaiah says. So we should expect growing faint and weary in our hope. So hope is sustainable not because we have strength to hope, but because of the one in whom our hope lies. So even when we are weary or tired or weak, we simply need only to wait, to trust, to rest, to hope in God. And in that hope, there is joy. And in that joy, there is strength. Now, I want this to be a message of hope for you. I want your 2019 to be a year of hope. You can make your resolution whatever you want. I honestly have never made a New Year's resolution in my life. Probably because I know that they're all unsustainable. And I know myself, maybe my New Year's resolution this year should be to make a New Year's resolution. All right. So I want to make your 2019 a year where you can create a resolution or have some hope, something that you can actually attain to, grab, grasp, tangible reality that you can live in this year. I want you to have a year of hope. So I want to make this practical, livable, because this idea of hoping in God, what does that mean, hoping in God? Where I just wake up in the morning like, okay, God, I'm just hoping you. Like, that's it? I mean, how does that work? How do I get strength and power and energy when I'm weak and tired and failing? And you tell me the answer is hope? How? What does that mean? So I want to help you. And I think one of the ways to help you to be relevant to our culture is to talk about social media, because social media rules our culture. It doesn't rule our culture, but it invades our culture. And social media tells us a lot about our society, right? So I spend time on Facebook and Twitter and whatever and kind of see what people are like, what our society thinks in general. And what I can conclude for sure is this. I have noticed something that is very prevalent in our culture, and it is that there are a lot of moms who are very tired. And apparently, all they want to do is have someone do the laundry for them and drink coffee or wine. Like, that is like the biggest cultural norm that I see from most people on Facebook and Twitter and social media and whatever. And I know that they're, you know, what they're doing is they're posting memes or they're saying something, or, you know, they're not saying it, someone else said it, and they're just kind of reposting it and being like, haha, this is so true. And, you know, I know that it's humorous. They're kidding. They're joking. And I'm not attacking moms or women or men or anybody who post stuff like that. What I'm saying is they're revealing the reality that they're tired, right? They're exhausted. And that makes sense because Isaiah says they will be exhausted. They will be tired. It is normal in your human body to get tired and exhausted, but I want to offer you hope, okay? If NFL players are getting tired in 11 minutes, what do you think a mother is doing when she's got 18 hours with the same kids and the only break she gets is to go to sleep, and that's interrupted at least twice at night, right? So she can wake up in the morning and do it again? Of course moms are tired. Of course they're on social media saying, I just want a glass of wine and a break. And these guys are making $10 billion playing football, play for 11 minutes, actually probably 5.5 because they only play offense and defense half the time. So they're playing 5 minutes of football and they're tired. And their careers are only, 12 years, 10 years at most. And then they retire with millions of dollars. Moms have to do it for 18 years. Dads have to do it for 18 years. And what do they get? Not a retirement compensation from their children, that's for sure. In fact, when they die, they have to give their kids everything. So the reality is, it makes sense that you're tired. And the Bible's telling us you're going to be tired. That makes perfect sense. Now that kind of lifestyle for families, for men, women, for these women who are saying these things, these tired moms, that lifestyle seems unsustainable. Because it is. It is unsustainable. So your response might be, well, then what should I do instead of that? You tell me I shouldn't be a parent? No, you should be a parent. But it's unsustainable. Exactly. Being a parent, or just being a human being in general, is exhausting to the point of it's not sustainable for you. So what, I gotta stop being a human being, stop being a parent, stop having children? No, I'm telling you that regardless of what you do, it's unsustainable. Well, that doesn't sound like hope at all, right? That sounds like bad news. So what's the hope in that? Because you could make the argument this. You know, speaking of these moms or women who maybe say, post these things on social media, the reality is these people actually do get the laundry done, right? These moms do make dinner. These parents do work and they do provide. They're just making a light joke about how exhausting it is. They're still getting stuff done. These people are making it, so it clearly is sustainable. Well, I would actually argue, based upon my experience with many people, that what they are doing is still unsustainable. Because though these chores get done, laundry and dinner and family time, and all those things are getting done, it is often at the detriment of their own marriage and or their own children. Mom's tired, so kids get to play on the iPad for 4 hours. Dad's tired too, so kids get to watch TV for 4 hours. Right? Why? Because they don't want to deal with them. They don't want to deal with the kids. They don't want to parent the kids. And mom and dad are too tired to sit across from each other and have an intelligent conversation. They're just too tired. It's not sustainable. Because mom says, I got the laundry done. I did the dishes. I took care of this. And husband says, well, I went to work and I did this and I did that. And they're both tired. They're both exhausted. And the moment they have a chance to get a break, they just send their kids off to in front of a screen so they can rest. And then they don't talk. It's just, that's what's happening. You might say, well, no, that doesn't happen in our family. And if that doesn't, that's great. But culturally speaking, that's what's happening. Kids are being parented by social media and by the internet and by Netflix and by games and cartoons. And marriages are falling apart because people are just too tired to invest in each other. Families are suffering because they don't have. But there is hope. Isaiah says that when we wait on the Lord, when we trust Him, and when we hope in God, He will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, can you imagine telling one of these exhausted parents, I have a secret potion in this little vial. When you drink it, guess what happens? It gives you constant, renewable energy so that you can do all the things in your life that you want to do. Laundry will get done. You'll have energy to play with your kids. You'll have the strength of conviction to give them the discipline they need to grow up to be godly young people. You'll have joy in your spouse that isn't weighed down by exhaustion. And you'll have the audacity and the energy to pursue all your wildest dreams and the things you want to do with your life. All you have to do is drink this. Can you imagine the response you'd get from people? First of all, they wouldn't believe you. But if it were real, right? If it were real, can you imagine the response you would get? We have that secret potion. It's called hope. It's called hope. It's a little vial. We shake it in front of people and say, this is your renewable energy source that gives you endless strength and power to do the things that God wants you to do. Waiting on God is trusting not only that He will produce results that satisfy, but that He will also supply the energy to cause you to work towards those results. Did you hear that? Hoping God, trusting in God, waiting in God is believing that He will not just produce results that satisfy, but that He will provide the energy to do it. So how do I practically put this into place so that I can live 2019 with sustainable energy? So waiting on the Lord means waiting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord, hoping in God, hoping on God. He is the only sustainable energy source. The key to sustainable energy for your life is to be endlessly connected to the power source, right? Batteries wear out, and you have to replace them. But if you take that lamp or some appliance and you plug it into a wall, it's always connected to the power source. Its energy doesn't fade like a battery's energy would. We are like batteries. God is like the wall outlet. All right? We have all this energy, but eventually we slow down and all of a sudden we're done. But when we're plugged into the source of power, and God, like a wall outlet, supplies endless current of energy and strength. Now, I'm not excusing the reality that we are human beings who need to sleep, okay? Like, God created us to rest. But I'm talking about energy to serve Him and to love Him and to fulfill your role in life. So, the key to sustainable energy for your life is to endlessly be connected to the power source that's God. So, Pastor Mark, could you say, and like, I just have to, you know, read the Bible and pray every day and I'll just have more energy? Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's more than that, but yeah. Like, what I'm saying is that hope, or knowing that there is a future blessing that will result from your activities today, knowing that everything you do in 2019 will, Romans chapter 8, be for your good, that the end result, the promise is it's for your good, and the result is your glorification in Jesus Christ, knowing that that is the promise, that is the hope, that is the result of everything you do this year, is one of the means by which you are provided hope. And that hope, in that hope is joy, and in the joy there is strength to do those things. I have never heard anyone ever tell me, ever, I've been a pastor for 12 or 13 years, I've never heard anyone tell me that they spent time alone with God and that the result was that they were exhausted and tired and couldn't do anything else for the rest of the day because they had a 20-minute devotion. I've never heard that. And if I did hear that, I'd say, you're doing it wrong, okay? What I hear from my friends when they tell me that they spent quality time alone with God is always followed with a sense of rejuvenation and restored energy to do God's will, to pursue His purposes, and to obey Him. That's the result that I hear when people tell me they're spending time alone with God. Why? Because they're connecting to the power source. They're energized by the guy who gives them hope. And in that hope, there is joy. And in that joy, there is strength to do His will. In that hope, waiting on Him, meaning being with Him, patiently spending time with Him is the way that Jesus renewed His strength. And it's the way that we renew our strengths, and it gives us hope. And in that hope, there's joy. And in that joy, there is strength to do the things that God has called us to do today. So no more posts about wine and needing coffee and getting those socks on the bottom say, if you can read this, bring me a cup of wine, right? You guys seen those socks? Women have their feet up or guys have their feet up. Like, that's fine. I'm just teasing. You can post whatever you want. I'm not monitoring your Facebook accounts. So all I'm saying is that the reality is you should be energized. And if you're not, the reason is not my life is too exhausting. The reason is you're not getting the right power from the right source. And the source is hope, because with hope comes joy, and joy comes strength. The ultimate hope is the promise of eternal life, right? The promise of being, spending eternity in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, that's our ultimate hope. That's when Paul says in Romans 8 that all things work for, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, that's believers, their hope is that everything works for good. That good is this eternal reality that we will spend eternity with God. That's our ultimate hope. That hope alone should be your daily and constant renewable energy source. And the only way to grab that hope, to make it tangible, to pick it up and go, I'm tired, it's 5 o'clock, I gotta go home and spend time with my family, and I'm just exhausted. How am I gonna give my children the attention they need, my wife or husband the attention that they need, and chores and this stuff, and I gotta take care of this, and all these things on, you're too tired already, it's 5 p.m. How do you pick up hope and go, I'm gonna make it through the night with this hope as my strength? What does that mean? It means you connect to the power source. You wait on God. You hope in God. You return to the promise. All the things you're going to do tonight have a result, and that result is good. And that good that you're promised is your hope. It's the promise. It's your trust that God will deliver on that promise. That's your hope. And that reality should make you happy. And that joy, that happiness, gives you strength. So even in the daily grind, as that hope hangs before us, we can still get tired. Which is why we must return to the energy source. We gotta pray, we gotta read, we gotta meditate on Scripture, you have to memorize Scripture. We should be doing these things daily and constantly, and not just in the morning, but when we need to tap into more power. Because if we are just batteries, we wear out at about 4 or 5 o'clock, don't we? Okay? And now we've got batteries in these things. You don't take these batteries out and replace them, do you? What do you do? You plug it into the wall. How many times a day do you plug your phone into the wall? At least once, right? Consider yourself an iPhone. You need to be recharged in the middle of the day. You need to plug into the power source so that you have energy and to fulfill God's will for your evenings or for the rest of your day. We need that in the morning. We need it in the afternoon. We need it whenever we need it. And you know when you need it. Jesus, like I said, always went away to be alone with his Father. And he did this to restore his energy and his love for his Father. And part of his reason that he always just went away to be alone, right? He goes off in the wilderness to be alone. Who's he alone with? The Father. And in that relationship with his Father, he's being filled with the love, which is whom is the Holy Spirit. And he's growing in love with his Father, and the Spirit is the love of God whom fills Jesus, and that filling is the energy that Christ uses to go back out and fulfill his ministry. Jesus was tired and hungry and thirsty, and his disciples came to him and said, Jesus, you need bread and water. And he's like, oh, you guys have no idea what sustains me. It's not food. It's not water. It's the will of God. My food is to do the will of my Father. That's what he says. He's energized physically by his devotion and his hope in his Father. And it is that hope, Hebrews 12:2. It is for the hope that was set before him that he what?
endured the cross.
Why did Jesus endure the physical difficulty, and how was he given strength and power to endure the most challenging thing in all of human history, to die on a cross? How did he endure that? Because of the hope that was set before him. Hope provided him with joy, and joy in his Father. That was his hope, and it allowed him to endure the cross. He was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, who provided him with that hope and that strength to trust God and to believe those promises, and that filled him with joy, and that hope helped him endure the cross. You have that same hope. You have that same hope that allows you to endure this life every day, day in and day out, all of its challenges, work, family, kids, life, everything, ministry, church, all your extracurricular activities, going to the gym. I'm just too tired to go to the gym. No, you're not. You're not disciplined enough to go to the gym. I'm just too tired to go to church. No, you're not. You're not disciplined enough to go to church. Nobody's too tired. It's a discipline issue. And the lack of energy is coming from a lack of discipline in God. A lack of hope, a lack of connection to God. And then there's a lack of joy, because I tell you what, I am most satisfied in my relationship with God when I'm standing right here preaching to you, doing what he tells me to do. This is my happiest moment of the week. I love this. Maybe I should feel more connected to God on Tuesday afternoon while I'm in my office praying, and I do often feel very connected that way. But I feel connected here, doing what makes me happy and knowing that there's hope. And I want you to do the same thing, whatever your calling is or wherever it is, to be energized to do that which God has called you to do. And the only way you're going to do it is if you know that your hope is truly secured. Your eternal life is promised and guaranteed. And in that hope, there is joy. And in that joy, there is strength. So why do I keep saying that in that hope, there is joy. And in that joy, there is strength? Because Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want to be like an eagle with wings when you feel like the little field mouse that the eagle's chasing? You need hope. And hope is believing God's promise that all the things you're doing have an end game, and that end game is good. And the result is eternal life. That should bring us joy, knowing that every ounce of energy I put into every day needs to be powered by God for the purposes of God, for His glory and in my joy. And in that, knowing that and understanding that, there is strength and power and energy. And it's sustainable, because God is sustainable. The key to a sustainable new year is hope, where joy and strength in God are found. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, for its truth, and pray that you would provide us with strength and energy to fulfill your will, to do the things that you've called us to do. It is exhausting to live in this body, this dying flesh that is decaying, that is groaning inwardly and waiting outwardly for the culmination of all things. We want to see the end come. We want to meet you. We want this decay and this death and this groaning to end. But in the meantime, you've called us to return to you for strength and joy. So give us that hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.